Terry Wickstrom Outdoors is brought to you in part by Sun Power Sports. By the way, they have a custom motorcycle and car show going on there today. I think they have the street closed up. Not today. She's looking at me and shaking. Yesterday. All right, so you can go there and look at the motorcycles today and the ATVs. They always have something going on in the weekend. Go there anyway. Anyway, there are good friends, and hunting's coming up, and we're going to talk a lot of hunting in the next hour. And hauling decoys, getting to where you hunt, a lot of times those ATVs will help you out. Also, Brad and I were talking, after this next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about some techniques to catch some of those pond bass and stuff we were talking about just a few minutes ago. But right now, we're going to go back to the phones. And joining us, again, from the Hatchery Division of Parks and Wildlife, we have Dave Carr. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Terry. How you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, we just got done talking to Brandon White about the warm water species and the fishing opportunities that they provide for whether you're adults or especially even children in these ponds that are right by your house where you can walk or take your bike and get somebody excited and catch a fish. And now you're going to take us to the other end of the spectrum where it's going to take us a bit to get there, but you work hard to provide an experience at the other end of the spectrum, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. I kind of had that thought, too. We're sort of going from the warm water side of things to the cold water side of things here. Fall is right around the corner, so I wanted to come on and highlight a stocking program CPW does every fall, and that is our high mountain cutthroat stocking that we do in alpine and subalpine lakes by airplane.
Now, the reason you do that is because there probably is little or no driving access to these lakes, right?
Right, yeah, I'm talking about the lakes and streams that you have to hike to get into, the ones that are, you know, sort of far back in the high country.
Now, what type of fish are you stocking on those waters?
This is going to be cutthroat trout that I'm talking about. We stock several different types of cutthroats throughout the state, but it's going to be a cutthroat that's appropriate to that drainage or that slope, so we stock those that are going to be native to the east slope on the east side and to the west slope on the west side. And also in the Rio Grande drainage, we stock some Rio Grande cutthroats in the south.
Now, these aren't stocked as to rebuild the population. These are actually stocked as a recreational opportunity, aren't they?
Yeah, this is recreational, definitely. These are lakes in a lot of cases can't really sustain a whole lot of natural reproduction, just like most other trout, cutthroat require running water to reproduce naturally. So it's just another way for CPW to provide an additional angling opportunity in a kind of a really nice, beautiful setting.
Well, you're absolutely right about the setting part. When I thought about the city parks and the bluegills and the bass we talked about just a minute ago, then you flip a switch and now you're at a high alpine lake, maybe around the tree line. You're hiking up and with a fly rod or a spinning rod, and now you've got the opportunity to catch these beautiful, gorgeous trout in a setting that's unbelievable in an area where there probably wouldn't be an angling opportunity without that. And it's just, how many different lakes do you stock?
It's a lot. We can only get to about half of them on an annual basis. So, for instance, in 2017, we did a little over 400 high mountain lakes. And that's just one side of the state. So there's a whole bunch of high mountain lakes out there that we have to get to. And that's really why we use the airplanes, too, because it's so much more efficient to use an airplane than sort of in the old days when people were backpacking or taking horseback to stock these lakes. We can actually get to all these lakes now using modern technology.
What size are the fish when you typically stock them?
These are really small fish. They're probably about an inch, maybe a little longer than that. And there's a pretty good reason for that, actually. We found that if we stock them any larger than that, that the impact of the fall, they have low survival. And if they're any smaller than that, they actually dry out on the way down, and that impacts their survival. So we have to pick a pretty narrow window of size where it's successful stocking for us.
Now, you put these and you stock different lakes each year. What do you have any kind of idea what the holdover rate is and how long they live in these bodies of water?
that probably depends on the lake. That's a really good question, and it'd be one that I wouldn't want to give wrong information to, but I do know one of the interesting things is, at least for me anyway, is that because these lakes are so much more inaccessible, the biological surveys that the bios conduct, in a lot of cases, they don't get around to these lakes as often as they do the more accessible ones. And a lot of the proof that we have that this program is working is just the fact that you can go up there and catch these cutthroats, that they're there and the opportunity exists.
Dave, this is Brad Peterson, and I wanted to ask you, you're stocking all these lakes. Is there a way that the anglers can find out what lakes are getting stocked so that they're able to utilize this great fishing opportunity you guys are providing?
Yeah, it's sort of like you were talking with the bass. There isn't an actual stocking report out there for these cutthroats. And because the fishery inventories aren't even as complete, that's not necessarily an option either. I would say probably the best way for people to find out which ones have been stocked would be to visit a hatchery where the technicians are part of this program, where they raise these fish and where they help the pilots at the airport load the fish. Those people would have a pretty good idea and could give anglers a small list, I think, of lakes nearby that get these fish.
And which hatcheries would those be?
The two that come to mind right off the top of my head, the Mount Chavanaugh Hatchery and the Rifle Hatchery, I know are pretty consistently raising fish for the airplane stocking.
You know, another point I want to make, because I've fished some of these high mountain lakes. I've either hiked up or gone up by horseback. And people, you know, we talked about being stocked at a small size, and they think like Rocky Mountain National Park or Indian Peaks Wilderness. They think of some of the more accessible lakes, and you end up getting a lot of small cutthroats or even small brook trout. But I'll tell you that I've caught some really nice cutthroat trout up in these high lakes. Some of them grow to some fairly substantial size, don't they?
Yeah, and it really... One of the things I love about it is that a lot of times you can hike into the backcountry and you can be within a mile or two of three or four different bodies of water, and it seems like each one has sort of a different size of fish that's catchable there. And yeah, you're right. There are some lakes out there where you can get some, you know, 18, 20-inch cutthroats in the high country, and it doesn't get a whole lot more Colorado than that.
Well, I did a show on horseback in Rocky Mountain National Park just about that. If people go to my YouTube channel, The Best of Fishing with Terry Wickstrom, you can find that show. And I was amazed because I had fished the park a lot. It's one of my favorite places. And I had caught a lot of smaller fish. And I had caught some fairly large browns in the lower parts of the park. But I had never caught cutthroats the size I did on the high alpine lake that we had to go up by horseback. I was just so impressed. And those exist all over. And I'm sure you try to stock them, too, in areas that are public and accessible if you're willing to take the effort.
Yeah, definitely. Those aren't necessarily going to be done by airplane because the ones that we can get trucks to, it's the preferred method. But, you know, one that springs to mind right off the top of my head would be Long Draw Reservoir. We stock that with a lot of cutthroats every year, and that's it's seasonally accessible. It's not open year-round, obviously, but that would be a pretty good one for people who want to drive to a lake.
But, you know, the other thing right here now, too, is the ones you do hike up to, the ones that are higher up right now, we had a late spring, and the water a lot of these lakes didn't even get the ice off till after June. And we're coming up on winter pretty soon. There's a window right now that you need to take advantage, isn't there?
Yeah, that's why we do this in the fall. It really is the short window. It's maybe a 4 to 6 week window where the fish are the right size. And really importantly, the weather can cooperate for the pilots. That's a big part of it, too, is getting good flying weather for them. And then hitting that window before those lakes start to ice up. So it's a short window for us, and we have to take advantage of it every year.
So, Dave, we're out of time, but I'm going to put you on the spot. I know that you have a passion for these lakes, and that's one of the things with you and Brandon both, what you talked about. Your passion for fishing, what you manage, comes through so well. So give us a couple of the sleepers that people can go to. Now, you're going to give up a couple of your spots, but they're not going to get flooded. But if I wanted to take advantage of this, where are a couple of the really neat places to do it?
Most of my backcountry experience has been in the Rewa Wilderness. I really like it up there. There's some really good cutthroat lakes up there. It's quite a hike, so it's not for everybody, unfortunately, but that's a really good one. There's the Rewa chain of lakes is really good up there for pretty good-sized cutthroats.
All right. We'll take it at that. We don't want you to give up all your spots, but great programs and great, just a great comparison and different types of things Parks and Wildlife does in these last two segments. Thank you, Dave.
No problem. Thank you.
You bet. You know, Brad, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, I want to go back to that segment on the bass and talk about how we would approach these ponds with some simplistic ways to catch those fish.
And that's the great thing about these ponds is you don't have to get complicated to catch fish in them.
Well, you know, and the same thing's true if you're willing to put the hike in for these trout, that it doesn't take sophisticated, they're not very educated. It's the work to get there that makes them hard to catch.
And a lot of people, you know what, the work getting there is as or more enjoyable than the actual fishing up top. So these two segments talked about two different opportunities for maybe two different groups of anglers.
Oh, yeah, or some that'll do both.
Yep.
All right, we're going to take a time out. We'll tell you more about how we would fish those bodies of water on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.